shut down because of the increase of his government and peace, there'll be no end.
Amen.
No end. No stopping it.
Glory.
And so we are kingdoms of another citizenship.
Amen.
The kingdom of God is reigning within you. Hallelujah. And I shall not be moved. This is a day to not be moved.
Amen.
Woo. I got goosebumps. Well, we've been talking about sowing your seed. And we've been talking about whatever you say. And you know what the scripture says? Death and life's in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. And so we're living in that time, so we got to be careful what we're saying and believe what we're sowing. You know, there's a thing is that God had laid on my heart. You know, Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived. Say deceived.
Deceived.
You know what deceived means? It's believing a lie.
That's right.
Do not be deceived. I don't know how many times it says, be not deceived. Be not deceived. We could look it up, but it doesn't matter. But it's a bunch. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Amen? The Passion says, hey, by the way, we got passion. We're going to use it today. All right, and now listen. The key here, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Looking. What do you need to be looking? If you be risen with Christ, set your mind, your new mind, on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid in Christ. And when Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall your spirit man appear with him in glory to get the rest of you. Amen?
Amen.
So that's who he is. He is your life. Now, looking unto Jesus, Jesus is what? The first and the what? How many times in Revelation does God say, I'm the first and I'm the last? I'm the first and the last. I am Alpha and what?
Amen.
Now catch this. If he's the first and he's the last, if he's the Alpha and he's Omega, he's everything in between.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about the in between where you're in union with him that's first and last.
Amen.
This thing isn't complicated. It's not complicated. Now, I want to read. Father, thank you for your word. Passion. Give me the passion. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I didn't have this in my notes, but I want to read it. Verse 1. Okay, Rod, you said you had it. Okay. Now look at that. Now please bear with some of my craziness for a moment. Yes, please be patient with me. You need to know that God's passion is burning inside me for you. Because like a loving father, I have pledged your hand in marriage to Christ, your true bridegroom. I've also promised that I would present his fiancée to him as a pure virgin bride. But now I'm afraid. Just as Eve was deceived, say deceived, by the serpent's clever lies, your thoughts may be corrupted and you may lose your single-hearted devotion and your pure love for Christ. For you seem to gladly tolerate anyone who comes to you preaching a pseudo-Jesus. Not the Jesus we preached. You have accepted the Spirit and the gospel that is false, rather than the Spirit and the gospel you once embraced. How tolerant you have become of these imposters. Of these what? Imposters. And then King James says that you remove from the simplicity that's in Christ. What is simplicity? It's easy. My yoke is what? Easy. My burden is what? Light. This is a year for easy and light. Stay in your position. Don't be moved by what you hear.
Amen?
Amen? The things that's seen are temporal. The things that's not seen are eternal. But we see it with the eyes in eternity. Okay. If hell has a characteristic, this is it. John G. Lake said it, and I believe it. If hell has a characteristic, it is that of distraction. Distraction. So since Rod's got passion back there, I want to go to 1 Peter. I hadn't read it in 1 Peter chapter 5. How many of you is liking the passion? I love it. It's so easy to understand. 1 Peter chapter 5. Okay. Verse 1. I'm going to take my time on this for the next two or three weeks talking about deception because it's so important. Now, I encourage you as an elder and an eyewitness of the sufferings of Christ and one who shares in the glory that's about to be unveiled. I urge my fellow elders among you to be compassionate shepherd who tenderly cares for God's flocks and who feeds them well. For you have the responsibility to guide, protect, and oversee. Consider it a joyous pleasure and not a religious duty. Lead from the heart under God's leadership, not a way of gain of finances dishonesty, but a way of eagerly, cheerfully serving. Don't be controlled by tyrants, but lead others by your beautiful example to the flock. And when the shepherd kings appear, you will win the victor's crown of glory that never fades. In the same way, you younger ones should willingly support the leadership and elders. In every relationship, each of you must wrap around yourself the apron of a humble servant, because God resists you when you are proud, by multiple grace and favor when you are humble. If you bow low in God's awesome presence, He will eventually exalt you as you leave the timing in His hands. Pour out all your worries, your stress upon Him. Come on, pour it all out. Pour out all your worries and your stress upon Him. Leave them alone, for He always tenderly cares for you. Whew. Did you get that? Be well balanced and always alert, because the enemy, the devil, roams around incessantly like a roaring lion, looking for its prey to devour. Take a decisive stand. What kind of stand? Against him. Resist his every attack with strong, vigorous faith. For you know that your believing brothers and sisters around the world are experiencing the same kinds of trouble that you are enduring. Hey, you're not alone. The devil will always tell you everybody else is not going through what you're going. Lie. And then after your brief suffering, the God of all love and grace, who has called you to share in this eternal glory in Christ, will personally, powerfully restore you and make you stronger than ever. He will set you firmly in place and build you up, as He has all the power needed to do this forever. Give me an amen. Amen. 1 Peter 5. Now, I want to look at it, and it says, 1 Peter 5, I think it's 7, casting all your cares. Cast all your what? Cares. That word cares now is distractions in the Greek. Sometimes the distractions look so necessary, but they get your focus and your hearts get anxious and overcharged. Cares is anxious and overcharged. So don't let that, it says, don't let that happen. Casting all your cares, your anxieties upon Him, for He cares for you. And the same thing you're going through, all your brethren are going through, but the God of all patience, after you suffered a while, will make you perfect, strengthened, settled. How many like the word settled? See, that's what it means to be settled in Christ and be not moved away from the hope. Amen. Don't be moved from the hope. This is a time not to be moved. Amen. Just rest in His love. Anxiety, it says, that brings disruption to the personality and the mind. That's that word distraction, cares. Means to roam from your safety. Should I say that again? Eric ain't here. Say that again, Eric says. That means to roam from your safety. The enemy's always trying to get you to roam from your safety. You need to worry about this. You need to worry about this. Why? Why do you want to worry? There's a Chinese man, I heard this years ago, named Samuel Lam, a prisoner for 20 years in China for preaching the gospel. He said, "Our churches in China are suffering from persecution. The Western churches are suffering from deception and delusion." Now, I'd say after about 20 years ago that I heard this, I got a feeling China is suffering from the same stuff now, because there's more billionaires in China than there are anywhere else. Give me an amen. Amen. Huh? So they got some of the same things, that the deception and delusion that's going on there too. That's why 2 Corinthians 10:5 says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He said, bring into captivity what? Every thought to the obedience of Christ. And when your obedience is fulfilled, then the blessing. So we see now, Deuteronomy 11:16 says, take heed to yourself, that your hearts be not deceived, that you turn aside. See, deception always turns you aside. And serve other gods and worship them. That's all I want on that part. He says, don't let your heart be deceived. In Isaiah 44, I think it is, I don't know what verse, about verse, where's that at? Hit me, Jesus. 20 says, a deceived heart has turned them aside. A what kind of heart? Deceived heart. Now we know according to Jeremiah 17, the heart is what? Deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the hearts and give to every man according to his fruits of his doing. The old heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Cursed is a man that trusts that old heart. Amen? He's like a desert when the tumbleweed's blowing. There's no foundation, no solidness in him. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. He's like a tree that's planted in Psalms 1. And he'll bring forth his fruit in his season, and his roots will not wither. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. 2 John 1:7, it says, let me read that in the message. Go ahead and turn. That's just good, Rod. You turn. I'll read it up there. 2 John 1:7. All right. Numerous deceivers have surfaced from among us, going out into the world, people who will not acknowledge Jesus Christ coming as a man. These deceivers are antichrist. Every spirit that doesn't confess that Jesus has come in the flesh is a spirit of antichrist. That ought to eliminate a lot of the stuff you used to think. If they don't acknowledge Jesus has come in the flesh as the Messiah, it's the spirit of Antichrist. Many deceivers have gone out in the world. Now listen, deception was the vehicle which the serpent used in the Garden of Eden to transport sin to the human race. 1 Timothy 2:14 says, Adam was not deceived, but Eve was deceived. Give me that in the Passion, Rod. 1 Timothy 2:14. Eve, being deceived, fell into the transgression. 1 Timothy 2:14, there it is. Adam did not mislead Eve, but Eve misled him and violated the command of God. See, it was deception that brought sin into the world. And this deception is real. I'm telling you, it's everywhere we see today. James says, if a man look into the perfect law of liberty, he, being an obedient hearer, says, doing what he sees and hears, and he says, because what? If you don't, you've deceived your own heart. You've what? You're a forgetful hearer, and you have deceived your own heart. So you got to pay attention to the word. Deceit, the act of representing as true what is known to be false, causing its victims to adopt the false. Deceit is believing a lie. Be not deceived. And that's where we, a while ago. In Luke 21:8, I think I want to do that in King James, Rod. Luke 21:8. I'm close. And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and draweth in the time, and he says, I am Christ, and the time draws near. Go ye therefore not after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Be not deceived, for many will come, saying, I'm Christ, or deceive many. False prophets will come. Now, in verse 34, says, and take heed to yourself. What does take heed mean? Take heed. Lest, says to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeit and drunkenness and the cares of this world. There's your deceitfulness. There it is. Distractions. So that day will come upon you unaware. Now here's what it says. For a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. How many? Does that mean us? Is all? Are we part of the all? We are. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that come to pass and stand before the Son of God. Don't let your heart be overcharged with surfeit and drunkenness and the cares of this world. The Message Bible says your heart be overcharged with shopping. I used to think shopping was a woman's thing, but I found out men just as much a shopper as women are. Give me an amen. We just shop for different things. And you know what? It's easy to get your heart overcharged with something. Don't let it get overcharged. What does overcharged mean? Overcharged. Don't let that happen. And Jesus said, remember in Matthew 24, false prophets and false teachers are going to come. Romans chapter 7. Okay. I want to go to Romans chapter 7. Ooh. Okay. Verse 1, know ye not, brethren, I speak to them that know the law, that the law, having dominion over a man as long as he lives. For a woman which has a husband is bound to the law by her husband for long as he lives. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband be living, she married to another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if the husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, but can marry another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even him who is raised from the dead, that you should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of the spirit and not oldness of the letter. What we say then, is the law sin? God forbid. I had not known the law sin, but law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin taking occasion, now this is where I'm going. Sin taking occasion has wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which I was ordained to life, I found unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Let me read that again, verse 11. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Deceived me. See, deception is everywhere you look. It's everywhere. What is Satan called? The deceiver. Why is that? You know, the book of Revelation, it says that Satan's going to be locked up for 1,000 years in prisons so that he can't deceive the nations anymore. After 1,000 years, he's let out of the pit for a season to go deceive the nations. So his whole purpose is to deceive you. Because there is a way that what? Seems right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, years ago when I saw this deception thing, I told my elders, I said, guys, this thing is so real, you can't trust yourself. Because you know what deception is? You're deceived. It's so deceiving. You think it's the truth when it's a lie. And I said, if two of you guys, if I get off on a bunny trail and you guys tell me you're in error, if two of you come to me and say you're in error, I'm going to believe you before I believe myself. If a person ever gets to that place where he don't believe somebody else, he thinks he's right, he's set up for a fall. You better have people around you that can tell you the truth and you listen to them regardless of how you feel. Because this thing is so real. Amen? 1 Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom? Be not deceived. Catch it. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, nor abusers with himself with mankind, and such were some of you. But you've been washed, you've been cleansed, you've been sanctified. That's who you were. It's not who you are. But don't be deceived. It didn't say they wouldn't go into heaven. It said they wouldn't inherit the kingdom. Now, what is the kingdom, John? You heard it this morning. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. If you're in that stuff, I can guarantee you, you don't feel righteous. I can guarantee you, you don't have no peace. I can double guarantee you, you have no joy. It ain't available if you're in those situations. That's why you got to let the peace rule in your heart, to which you're called into one body, and be ye thankful. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, be not deceived, evil communication corrupts good manners. 2 Timothy 3:13 says, but evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Give me that in the Passion Rod. Hey, I like this. Give me that in Passion Rod. 2 Timothy 3:13. But evil men and sorcerers, hey, like that, will progress from bad to worse, deceived and being deceiving, as they lead people further from the truth. 2 Timothy. Did you catch that? Evil men and seducers are going to get worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them, and woo, from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures, they may be able to make you wise unto salvation. Amen. How many of you know the Word of God is really good? It's really good. Okay, now I've got to figure out where I want to go. I want to go to Ephesians chapter 4. Now, Rod, put that up in Passion. Boy, I'm getting goosebumps just saying, can you put that up in the Passion? Ephesians 4:1. As a prisoner of the Lord, I plead with you to walk holy in a way that is suitable to your high rank, giving to you your divine calling with tender humility and quiet patience, always demonstrating gentleness and generous love toward one another, especially those who may try your patience. Be faithful to guard the sweet harmony of the Holy Spirit among you in the bonds of peace, being one body and one spirit, as you were called into the same glorious hope of divine destiny. For the Lord God is one, and so are we. For we all share in one faith, one baptism, one Father, and He is the perfect Father who leads us and works through us in our lives in all us all. And He has generously given each of us a supernatural grace according to the size of the gift of Christ. This is why He says He ascended into heaven's heights, taken many captive ones with Him, and His gifts were given to men. He ascended means that He returned to heaven after He first descended from the heights of heaven, even descending as far as the lower parts of the earth. The same one who descended is also He who ascended above the heights of heaven in order to begin to restoration and fulfillment of all things. And He has appointed some with grace to be an apostle, some with grace to be prophets, some with grace to be evangelists, some with grace to be pastors, and some with grace to be teachers. And their calling is to nurture and prepare all holy believers to do their own work of ministry. And as they do this, they will enlarge and build up the body of Christ. These grace ministries will function until we all attain oneness into the faith, until we experience the fullness of what it means to know the Son of God, and finally become one into a perfect man with all the dimensions of spiritual maturity fully developed into the abundance of Christ. Then our immaturity will end, and we will not be easily shaken or troubled, nor led astray by novel teachings or false doctrines of deceivers who teach clever lies. But instead, we will remain strong and always sincere in our love as we express the truth. All our direction and ministry will flow from Christ and lead us deeper into Him, anointing the head of the body, the church. Oh, man. See, you know something? There ain't nobody in the body of Christ more important than anybody else. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are only anointed to help you grow up into the fullness of Christ. the author and the finisher. Everything's about him. When you get there, there is no separation. You know, in the book of Revelation, where God said, I hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. You know what their deeds was? They exalted these offices above everybody else. The priest was exalted above everybody else. That's why it starts out in the book of Revelation that God has made you both kings and priests to our God. Every one of you is a priest. Every one of you is kings. There is no separation in the kingdom of God. The fivefold's only given here to help you see that there's one body. One body. And when we get to that point, you don't need it anymore. By the way, you're already there. We just don't know it. We're getting there because the Holy Spirit's the one that's going to lead and guide you into all truth. Amen? That's good stuff. I really like. Don't you like the way that reads? That's awesome. That's where I got. Okay. All right. Did we read 1 Timothy 4, 14 in the Passion? We read that? Okay. Wow. Hypocritical liars who deceive many and their conscience won't bother them at all. All right. 2 Peter 2, 1, Passion. We read that? No. Okay, let me have it. I'm just going to read up here. 2 Peter 2, 1. In the past, there arose false prophets among God's people, just as there will continue to be false teachers who will secretly infiltrate into the midst to divide you, bringing with them their destructive heresies. They'll even deny the master who paid the price for them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Next. Many will follow their immoral lifestyles because of the corrupt false teachers. The way of truth will be slandered. What's next? They are only out for themselves, ready to exploit you for their own gain through their cunning arguments. Their condemnation has been long time coming, but their destruction does not slumber or sit idle, for by it is sure to come. Remember, Jude talks about these men that was marked out from long ago that comes in. What will they do? Perverting the grace of God. So why am I saying all this? I'm saying it because it's been on my heart for a good while that my job is to help to keep you straight, to keep you focused on the author and the finisher, the beginning, the end, and that's who you are. That is who you are. And because there's so many things trying to pull you away from your standing in Christ. Remember what Jesus said in John 8 to the Pharisees? He says, you are of your father, the devil. And the works of your father you'll do because he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. And he called the most religious bunch in the world at his time that your father is the devil. And the works of your father you'll do. I'm telling you, that is stout deception right there. Okay. I guess we read that. Go ahead and go back to 2 Corinthians 11, 13. Let's start 11, 13 in the Passion. For such are... Okay. Here we go. For they are not true apostles, but deceitful ministers who masquerade as special apostles of the Anointed One. Okay, next. That doesn't surprise us, for even Satan has transformed himself into appear as an angel of light. Okay, so it's no wonder that his servants also go about pretending to be ministers of righteousness. But in the end, they will be exposed and get exactly what they deserve. Hallelujah. So we see this is serious stuff. I don't like to talk on this stuff, but it's very important to you to understand that you better stay focused. Okay? I was shocked one day. We was over at David Alvarado's. It was a men's breakfast, and we was eating breakfast over there, and his son-in-law, Joe, He said something that nearly knocked me off my chair. He said this, that Satan and one-third of the angels were deceived in the very presence of God. Satan and a third of the angels was deceived in the very presence of God. Can your head get around that? That's the power of deception. You think deception can't bother us? When Satan and all a third of the angels was deceived in the very presence, I can't even imagine being in that presence and the thought of deception coming in. But apparently it can. That's astounding to me. And that's what we're dealing with. You know, in Hebrews 3:14, it says, we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence, how long? To the what? To the end. See, the trying of your faith is more precious than gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found in the praise and honor and glory at His appearing. The trying of your faith is a trying of His faith. Satan is doing everything he can to pull you away for your complete faith in Christ, what He's done for you. Just to add one little bit to it. Take me to Galatians chapter 3. I guess we're in Passion, Rod. What has happened to you, Galatians, to be acting so foolishly? You must have been under some evil spell. Didn't God open your eyes to see the meaning of Jesus' crucifixion? Wasn't He revealed to you as the crucified one? Next. So answer me this. Did the Holy Spirit come to you as a reward for you keeping the Jewish laws? No, you received Him as a gift because you believed in to the Messiah. Next. Your new life is in the Anointed One. Began with the Holy Spirit giving you new birth. Why then would you so foolishly turn from living in the Spirit by trying to finish by your own works? Next. Have you endured all these trials and persecutions for nothing? Let me ask you again. What does lavish supply of the Holy Spirit in your life and the miracles of God's tremendous power have to do with you keeping religious law? The Holy Spirit is poured out upon us through the revelation and power of faith by not keeping the law. Abraham, our father of faith, led the way of our pioneering example. He believed God, and it was the substance of his faith released God's righteousness to him. Whew. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, it's Passion. It says, I'm shocked over how quickly you've strayed away from the one who has called you into the grace of Christ. I'm frankly astounded that you now embrace a distorted gospel that's called fake gospel. We got fake news. We got fake gospel out there, folks. Amen. Fake gospel. That's simply not true. There is only one gospel, the gospel of the Messiah. Yet you have allowed these who minister law with grace to confuse you with lies. Anyone who comes to you with a different message than that of the grace gospel that you have received will have the curse of God upon them. They'll have what? That's doubt. For even if when we or an angel appears before you to give you a different gospel than what we have already proclaimed, God's curse will be upon them. I will make it clear. Anyone, no matter who they are, that brings to you a different gospel than the grace gospel that you have received, let them be condemned and cursed. Yo. How serious is that? Okay. Now, I'm saying all that because that's why it's so important to stay focused. Amen. Stay focused on the author and finisher of your faith. You have nothing apart from Him. Remember, everything in between the author and the finisher is Him. And that's what we got to hold to. Hebrews chapter 2, King James says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, verse 1, lest at any time we should let them what? Slip. Revelation 3, 1 through 6, the Passion says, let's go ahead and Revelation 3, 1. Let me read it. Write the following messenger of the congregation in Sardis. For these are the words of the one who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know what you do. I know all that you do. And I know that you have a reputation of being really alive, but you're really actually dead. Next. Wake up. Strengthen all that remains before it dies. I'm telling you, holding the beginning of your confidence steadfast to the what? What happened to the Galatian church? They didn't hold the beginning of their confidence, and they still thought they were alive, but they were actually dead. That's what he's saying here. For I haven't found your works perfect in the sight of God. In the next verse. So remember all the things you've received and heard, and then turn back to God and obey them, holding the beginning of your confidence steadfast. What was the beginning of your confidence? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How hard was that? Not very. But that's the beginning. That's the middle. That's the end. Beginning of your confidence in what Christ has done for you. And so you see that, I don't know how many times it says that through Revelation, but it's kind of shocking when you really see it. 2 Thessalonians 2, let's start with verse 3. Let's do it in the Passion, Ron. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way. Before that day comes, the rebellion must occur, and the outlaw, the destructive son, will be revealed in his true light. Next. He is the opposing counterpart who exalts himself over everything that is called God, or his worship who sits enthroned in God's temple and making himself out to be God. By the way, that's that old nature, that old familiar spirit. Okay. Do you remember that when I was with you, I went over these things? Next. Let's go to the next verse. Now you are aware of the ruling power, so that he may be fully revealed when his time comes. For the mystery of lawlessness is already active, but the one who prevails will do so until he is separated from out of the midst. Okay. Then the outlaw will be openly revealed. The Lord will overthrow him by the breath of his mouth and bring him to an end by the dazzling manifestation of his presence. Hallelujah. The presence of the outlaw is apparent by the activity of Satan, who uses all kinds of counterfeit. Now catch this. Miracles, signs, and wonders. So I want to tell you, don't be totally carried away. We're expecting a lot of signs, wonders, and miracles. But don't be surprised if the other side's doing them too. But it'll have something with it that will have something to say about you got to do certain things. Catch that? If you start seeing them and you hear something coming in that says this is what you got to do, you better be careful. Because that's going to be one of the signs that's going to be at the end times. Book of Revelation. A lot of this stuff's going to be going on. Okay. I'm getting pretty close, so I'm going to go ahead and finish. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Have you noticed I've gone a little slower today? Purposely? Passion? For their minds have been blinded by the God of this age, leaving them in unbelief. What was the prophetic word we had about unbelief a while ago? Not on our place. We ain't having it. Their blindness keeps them from seeing the day spring light of the wonderful news of the glory of Jesus Christ, who is the divine image of God. Okay, next. We don't preach ourselves, but rather the lordship of Jesus, for we are your servants for Jesus' sake. Okay. For God, who said, let brilliant light shine out of darkness, is the one who has cascaded his light into us, the brilliant dawning of light of the glorious knowledge of God as we gaze into the face of Jesus Christ. And as we, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being exchanged into the same image, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Holy Spirit has come to make us like him. So stay focused. Everything's set up for this. Satan's name is the deceiver, imposter, angel of light. Okay. You know, I've got a couple more verses. Hebrews 3, I'll just quote it. Talks about, but exhort one another daily while it's called day, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And he says, brethren, says, don't let this evil heart of unbelief, because he says, an evil heart of unbelief, brethren, don't let this happen to you, an evil heart of unbelief. But exhort one another daily. How often? Daily. Whew. So, let me read Ephesians 6:11 in the Passion. Are y'all hearing me?
Yeah.
We don't talk much about what we got to do, but I'm telling you, you got to stand. Now, he give you all of this armor for a purpose. Now, look, put on God's complete set of armor provided for us, so that you will be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. The accuser's going to come, and it's important that you put on your spiritual armor. Because we're not fighting flesh and blood, are we? Next. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. For they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. Say, not me. Because of this, you must wear all of the armor that God's provided for you. You're protected as you confront the slanderer. For you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. He that overcometh, how many times in the Revelation? He that overcometh, Revelation 2:26, and keepeth my works. Say it, my works. All of the churches he spoke to in Revelation, he said, I know your works, your labor of love. I know what you're going. You have a name. And he said, strengthen. He's always talking about holding on to that. You've left your first love. Got to go back. And you see that. He that overcometh and keepeth my works to the end. I'm telling you, that one verse is so powerful. If you're not careful, you'll slip by it. He didn't say nothing about your works. He said, he that keepeth my works. He that overcometh and keepeth my works. That word overcome is victory. He that has the victory of what I've done for you. And what does he say? I'm going to make you ruler. I'm going to make you ruler. Woo, glory. Well, let me read it. He that overcometh and keeps my works unto the end, him will I give power over nations. Next. Give me another verse, Rod. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter shall they be broken in shivers, even as I received of my Father. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth, so you go. Because we are seated together with him in the right hand of the Father. What is that? His authority. So we have authority on this earth to exercise the authority and power that God has given us. And you're going to have to. I guarantee you, if you'll confront some of these thoughts and some of these accusations that come against you in the name of Jesus and tell it to go, it'll be amazing how few you have come towards you. Amen? All right. Hebrews 10:35, and I'll quit. Let's do it in the Passion. I hadn't even read that in the Passion. So don't lose your bold, courageous faith, for you are destined for a great reward. Next, you need the strength of endurance to reveal the poetry of God's will and then receive the promise in full. Next, for soon and very soon, the one who is appearing will come without delay. And he also says, my righteous ones will live from my faith. Whose faith?
His
faith. But if fear holds them back, my soul is not content with them. Next. But we are certainly not those who are held back by fear and perish. But we are among those who have faith and experience true life. I guess that's it. You got it? We are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but to them that believe to the saving of the soul. Time to stand. So let's stand. So stand, therefore, in the power of His might. Well, the Lord bless you, and the Lord has kept you, and the Lord is keeping you, and He's making His face to shine upon you, and He's given unto you everything that pertains to life and godliness, and you have authority over all the powers of this world. In the name of Jesus, be blessed. Is this okay if I kind of go this way? I think it's important that we have this foundation to keep what we got, lest we let it slip. Okay, you're dismissed.